We are, like Jason said, in this series. Actually, this is the second one. We're going to start something new next week for Palm Sunday, but we are talking about inviting people to Christ, inviting people to know God, inviting people into our lives, inviting them into the church. Is this a little bit, I hear a little bit of echo here. Maybe it's a little bit too loud. Does it sound too loud to you?
No.
No? All right. You know, that one quote in the video that said, churches have, this is on your outline, churches that have lost their heart for evangelism are living out their last chapter. And that's so true, how true that is. Churches dry up, they close, when there's just little reaching out, when there's little life coming into the church, little life happening in the church, little concern for the lost. You know, sometimes we can get into church and just sort of settle down, and it's like it's about, we say, us four and no more. Mm. But that's not the heart of our Heavenly Father. We looked at that last week. We looked at the parable of the great banquet. We talked about that. And the inner meaning of that story we said last week was how God the Father sent Jesus to the earth, and he specifically sent him to Israel, his chosen people, inviting them. He said, I'm having a great banquet feast, invite them to come. And basically, I mean, he was inviting them to come to have a relationship with him as the Messiah, but as we saw in that parable, they all just kind of begged off. It was like RSVP, no thanks, I'm not coming. They had all these excuses for why they didn't want to come, and it made God angry. In the parable, we see he sends his servant back out, and he says, go back out then and invite the lame, the poor, the blind. Invite everybody, because I want my house to be full. And he's like telling them, and actually we put this back on the outline again this week. This is from Luke 14, verse 23. It says, then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. And in the word in scripture is compel. And if you look that word up in the dictionary, it's a pretty strong word. It really means almost force or coerce them to come. So why would God the Father use such a strong word? Like, go out there and please force them to come into my house so that it's full. And I believe he uses such a strong word because God loves people and he knows what's at stake if they don't come. Because he knows that eternity is at stake. He's talking about, come into my kingdom, come into my house, that they might know me and have a relationship with me. Because the outcome, at the end of your life, there's an outcome. We bring this to the forefront routinely as we minister. There's heaven bound and there's hell bound. Scripture just describes two places after you breathe your last. And so the Father is saying, I don't want the people to be hellbound. I want them to come into my kingdom. Because what you do in this life seals your eternity.
Right.
This is why we believe we're about, we say this word. We said it this morning in our purpose session in there. It's an epic mission that we're on. The Father sees it as an epic mission.
Yes.
And for the believer, this is on your outline, for the believer, this is the one who accepts the invitation from Christ, really, and that's what we're doing here on the earth. We're inviting people to know God. And so for the believer who accepts the invitation, your eternal destination means life and blessing with God forever. Mm. And there's plenty of scriptures we could use to say where we get that truth. For we put the reference on there, 1 John 5:12 basically says, for whoever has the Son has life. And what does that mean, to have the Son? It means a person who has accepted the invitation, right, responded to the invitation, opened up their heart, received forgiveness for their sin, confessed Jesus as their Lord. It's a gift. You're born again. You're alive to Christ. You're alive in his kingdom. You become a part of his kingdom. And your name, Scripture actually says, is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is recorded. You see in Scripture that God is a really good record keeper. He keeps an eye on everything. Sometimes we're going to be happy for that. Sometimes we're going to be like, oh, I wish you weren't such a good record keeper, Lord. But our names get recorded in the Book of Life when we're born again. But for the unbeliever, this is on your outline, for the unbeliever, this would be the one who rejects the gospel, rejects their need for a Savior. For the unbeliever, your destiny means eternal torment in hell forever. And we gave a scripture reference for that. As I said, there's many places in Scripture that describe that outcome for an unbeliever. But Revelation 20:15 says, anyone whose name was not found recorded in the Book of Life, you could look that up if you can scroll there that fast or turn your pages. Revelation 20:15. Anyone whose name was not found recorded in the Book of Life was thrown into the lake of fire. So it's a very stark difference between the eternal outcome of a believer and an unbeliever, according to the Scripture. And several times the Bible mentions the Book of Life. You want to be sure your name's written in the Book of Life. Say yes to the RSVP. Yes, I'm in, right? I'm coming, I'm in. Because today's the day of salvation. You know, we're not all guaranteed tomorrow. We always think, well, maybe. And that's really what happened with the Jewish people. They're still the apple of God's eye. They're his chosen people. But the nation of Israel is a lost nation.
Right.
Still needs evangelization. So today is the day of salvation. You know, you don't get a second chance after you breathe your last. And so this is why the Father compels us to come. Because God's original plan for man was to be a part of his kingdom, a part of his family. But Satan, you know, the serpent in the garden, sin marred the whole picture and actually hurled the whole destiny of the human race into separation from God forever. There was no way for us to make it back into heaven. You'd have to be perfect to get back into heaven. And who in here could say, I will do enough things in my life, I'll be perfect enough for heaven? Anybody? I mean, there's not one of us. That's why Jesus is so wonderful to us, because he sent his son Jesus to pay that price for us so that we don't have to have that eternal fate ahead of us, hanging over our head. And this is why the Father is saying now, even now, compel them to come. Wake up. He's like saying to the world, wake up. Do you see what's at stake here in our lives? And this is one of our main purposes for us in the earth, even as believers then, to compel other people to come. He's still sending us out. Go out and tell people. Let them know what's at stake. I mean, the church exists, this is on our outline, exists for nothing else. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ. God became man for no other purpose.
You know, that's purpose. Purpose. We talked about it in our sessions too today, before service. We talked about finding purpose. That's yeah. Really something that's really important to Pastor Mamie and I, because we, as we walked with God, the biggest thing is to know God, to find purpose and experience life. And that is awesome. But we all have a purpose. We were put on this planet for a purpose. You and I were put on this planet for a specific purpose. And the key is, it's we're put on this planet for a divine purpose. For a divine purpose, a purpose from heaven. And that actually makes us pretty special people, to tell you the truth. You have a divine call of God on your life to fulfill a purpose. You know, Father is the creator, and ultimately we're here to live for his glory. To bring him glory, not our own glory, but to live for his. The whole world lives for their own glory. Yeah. You listen to an interview with one of the football players, the baseball players, it's all for their own glory. You know, this is we were created in God's image. We are created in God's image, and we're here to live for his glory. And look at this scripture here, found in Romans. There's amazing things when you read the Bible, what you can find in there. They're just remarkable. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to teach you as you're reading the Bible, God himself will talk to you. There'll be something supernatural that happens in your life that you'll be changing. But you have to apply your faith to this. You're not just going to read this like you would a newspaper. You're going to read the Word of God like, Lord, this is your Word. I'm here to learn. Reveal to me the truth. Look what this says. For everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by his power. And everything is for his glory. To him be glory forevermore. The ultimate purpose for the entire universe, everything that's created and everything that's seen and unseen is to bring forth, to show forth the glory of God. Every human being, we are God's masterpiece. Do you understand that? We are his, the crown of creation. That's who you and I are. We're created in his image. We are... Everything in the universe is to declare his glory, but not everything was created in his image. You and I are created in his image. Yeah. And we are to reflect his glory. You and I are to be reflections of that glory. You know, and as you just remember, anybody remember the story about when Moses hung out with God and then he came down after 40 days, his face shone, it glowed because of the glory of God. Now, as you read the Word of God, as you start to get to know who he is, that same glory is going to rest on you. I mean, look at her face. It shines like an angel,
oh,
huh?
Brother. I'm taking your part. I'm going to go. Here's the next spill of
the
blood.
Wait a second. It's an amazing thing. There's a place where it says God won't share his glory with anyone. But then there's a place in the Bible that says Jesus will share his glory with us. And as we're in Christ, we're sharing his glory. We're partaking of that glory. We're reflecting that glory out of our inner being to everybody around us. Yeah. It's amazing. We are special individuals, I'm telling you. Look at what it says. We bring glory to God when we live for our purpose.
For his purpose.
When we live for his purpose, our purpose is following him. This is our purpose. Our purpose is to reflect his glory. Our purpose is to be representative of God. When we live that out, we are reflecting God's glory. You know, everybody's running around hither and thither in the world, but how many people are actually really living out their purpose? What we want is for you to live out your purpose to the full extent. To the full extent. You understand? These kids in mile one over there are discovering their purpose at a very young age. It took us a while to get to that place. It wasn't until we were 35 that we really recognized what we were supposed to do. That's a lot of wasted years. Come on, John, knock it off. But praise God.
He knows what you did those first 35 years.
Why do you think I have all this gray hair? It was a misspent youth, I'm telling you right now. But these kids are getting their purpose right from the very beginning, and they're not going to waste the years that I wasted. They're not going to. You know, our mission statement, how about that? Did you see it on the wall out there? Amanda Doyle, she designed that for us and put it up there. You know, our purpose is helping people know God. You know? Discover their purpose and experience life. You know, and then how about that connection center there that they have that new desk out there? Adam and Jason, they built that in one day, guys, huh? Oh, my gosh. This church and everything we do, we have five purposes. These five purposes help direct our church. It helps us to understand where we should spend our energy.
Right.
And we believe that these five purposes are for every individual. Everybody who calls on the name of Christ, we believe that these are your purposes also, because they're found in the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. And I believe, and we are fully convinced that if you bring these five purposes into your life, not as something that is an add-on, but as something that this is your purpose, and you have dog determination to have a lifestyle of fulfilling these five purposes, I promise you, your life will become an abundant life. Yeah. You'll magnify your experience of life, and you'll bring great glory to God.
Yeah.
You'll be fruitful in this life. You'll be fruitful in this life.
You know, I believe some of you, you know, are sitting in these seats, and I know this by the Spirit of God, if you would exercise faith in these five purposes, that, again, they're not just things, well, we just threw this together, well, let's just put this down and see how it works. We felt led by God, do it. That if you will tell people to exercise faith in these five things,
yes,
put them in their life as a lifestyle, and do it for a while. I mean, we just said in that session over there this morning, in the purpose session, give God six. Give him 6 months of your life, but give it to him wholeheartedly.
Right.
Not just dabble. Give over 6 months and see what he'll do. And put some of these, put all five of these purposes. And they're not hard. We're going to just run through them here quickly. But if you act upon them in faith, taking God at his word, I believe you will see blessings,
yes,
manifest in your life.
Yes.
You will see the blessings of God grow in your life. And, you know, I don't know, for whatever reason, people hold back. For whatever reason, it's like the Israelites, you know, the people of Israel, no thanks, I'm too busy, don't have time, don't have enough time. I mean, go read the parable,
yeah,
of the great feast. You'll see that that's what they said. I'm getting married. I got to just, you know, take care of my wife. And I just bought some stuff. And I have this business going. I just don't have time for all of you, everything you're asking me to do, God, to just come to know me. But if you will exercise faith and you'll say, no, I'm going to take God at his word. I'm going to give him 6 months. I'm going to commit to these purposes and let my lifestyle be built around them. Mm-hmm. Blessings are going to grow and manifest,
yes,
in your life. You know, sometimes I think, often people will say, well, I'm just waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. And I often believe God turns it around and says, actually, I'm waiting on you. I've put opportunities. I've put invitations in front of you. But for whatever reason, we just beg off. No, I don't want to do it. You know, I remember about 25 years ago, we were sitting in church listening to a sermon, and the pastor was sharing about supporting work of missionaries who were in Africa. And there was a couple that had been in Africa, and they had just had enough money to get a mortgage to build a house and stay there because they were located in that nation. And they were having some difficulty paying off the mortgage. And the pastor said he felt like God just spoke to his heart and said, if you will pay off, like, focus on them instead of yourself, because the church was actually had taken on a big mortgage at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you will pay off their mortgage, I'll pay off your mortgage. And he meant, I mean, God, the way that he spoke it, it was like your mortgage, meaning the church, and your mortgage, like,
yeah,
the mortgages
the
of the people.
Right.
And I'm going to guess that probably 95% of the people sitting there heard that, but never acted upon it in faith that my mortgage could be, God, you're saying you're inviting me to have my mortgage paid off if I get involved in this. And I know people did give money for sure, but I know some heard it and just, for whatever reason, it just rolled right off. It was like, well, that's nice, but I'm not doing that. They didn't take hold of the invitation, but we heard it. I mean, we sat there, I remember we heard it like with the ears of faith, because I remember,
yep,
when we looked at each other, it was like, this is an opportunity.
Right.
For us, for God, not just to give, because it's always an opportunity to give. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so we want to give, even if there's nothing in return for it. But this was something the pastor was saying, God's saying, I reward your giving in this specific way. And so we took that as an opportunity to see it as an invitation for God to bless us in addition. So what did we do? Well, we made a decision to take God at his word. And we had a personal monthly mortgage at that point of $400. Now, I know that sounds, that's like 25 or whatever so many years ago, because when we were laughing, thinking about it, it was like $400. You can't hardly even pay rent on an efficiency somewhere now for $400. But at the time, our mortgage payment was around $400. And we decided we'll give the same amount. It was like we're going to have to pay our mortgage off, but we're going to give $400, sacrifice $400 on top of it for the sake of paying off, helping to pay off that person's mortgage on the mission field. And so we doubled it, believing that God was going to help us out as the reward in the end. And it didn't happen after 3 months. I mean, we did it. 3 months went by, 6 months went by, 9 months went by, a year went by. It's like, we still committed, we're still committed to do this.
Till the end, till we finish it off.
And then we heard that the missionary's mortgage was paid off about sometime over a year or so later.
Year and a half.
Yeah. And at the shortly after that, God supernaturally moved in our life. And we had money. I don't even want to describe all the circumstances, but we had about, I think it was $12,000 to $14,000 left on our mortgage at the time of our home. And supernaturally, that money came in. I'm still amazed to this day. It was like, and I remember the day we stood in our backyard, and Pastor Steve, I mean, he's holding up the paper to the mortgage, and, you know, I'm with the camera, and he takes the Bic lighter, and he's, like, lighting the thing up. It's like, it's done.
Burn it up.
Burned it up. Isn't that awesome?
You know what?
We say all that.
Right. This is important for us to understand. We say all that because God will use a pastor to open up and lay out opportunities for the people of the congregation to be blessed. You've got to have ears to hear, like Pastor Mamie said. I bet everybody in that place heard what was spoken by the pastor.
But I don't know that too many people actually came back and said, you know what, my mortgage, the payment was paid off.
God opens doors like this. You know, God, we said this in the session today. A lot of times God opens up opportunities for you to get a blessing to you.
Yeah.
He doesn't write it in the sky. He just says, here it is. Then he waits for you. See, God opens more doors for us than we think. He opens doors for us, but it's you and I. By faith, we have to walk through those doors. And the purpose of that is to bring you a blessing. Is to bring you a blessing. When we take God up on his the opportunities he gives to us, it brings us life. It brings us life more abundantly. It brings us strength of character. It brings us perseverance, willing to go until the end. Yeah. Not just, like Pastor Mamie says, give us your six. You know, a lot of people will hear that. Oh, yeah, I'm fired up. I'll do that. Yeah, glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of my life. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, you guys want to go fishing? Yeah, we're out of here. Let's go. And you don't follow through. I mean, I think what happens is people think that they're strong in spirit, and they're finding out they're weaker in spirit than you think. Because you get blown over here, you get blown over here, and the only way to get strength is to simply obey the word of God. Yeah. You know, if you make these five purposes core values in your life, I promise you, well, God promises you that you will live an abundant life. There's two realms here on this earth, a natural realm and a supernatural realm. God is asking you and I to live in both. But the supernatural realm is what forms the natural realm. And if you don't know anything about the supernatural realm, well, Your first step is to know God and give your life to Jesus Christ, because when you're born again, it is a spiritual rebirth, right, not a natural rebirth. So what are these things that we're going to make a lifestyle? What are these five purposes? What are they? Well, you know what? I'm glad you asked, because you can go on our website and you can find every single one of them. But we'll help you out and we'll bring them up. Number one, here we are. We are committed to loving God and making Jesus center of your life. Making Jesus the center of your life.
And, you know, a way to do some of this is to simply make this a confession of faith on your own part.
Right.
This is why we said stick these up on your refrigerator.
There you go.
And, I mean, this is stated, we are committed. But say, I am committed to loving God and making Jesus the center of my life. Make it personal.
Yes.
These confessions of faith are powerful, because they start to renew your mind, mm-hmm, to where you're going. I mean, sometimes our confession of faith is actually puts the path out there, and then, you know, you follow where that faith path goes. But if we continually say, well, I don't know, well, I wish that Jesus, I'd like to make Jesus the center of my life, you're not going to get there. You have to say, I am committed,
right,
to loving God and making Jesus the center of my life, and the Holy Spirit will hook up with that confession and bring the grace to begin to help you walk that out.
Yes.
It might feel like when you say it, well, I don't know that I really am, but if you want to be, you could say it by faith. And God will accept that confession of faith. He'll put a smile on his face.
Yes.
Be like, yeah, that's what I like to hear, and I'll help you to do it.
He'll help you to do it.
Make these personal. But
I mean, really, you know, the next one is we're committed to connecting with other believers and doing life together. Yeah. You start to do this, you're going to find out that, you know, you're not the only one with trouble. Everybody's been there before. You know, nobody knows the trouble I have. Nobody understands. Nobody has, you know. Has everybody said that or not?
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, we've all said that, because it's all common.
Right.
And so when we start to rub elbows with each other, you know, we start to get to know one another. And then you start to build distrust with one another. And then all of a sudden you start to say, hey, you know, I'm having this trouble. I said, oh my gosh, I just went through that trouble myself. And here's how God helped me through it. And then you have a key to your victory. Instead of banging your head against the wall the whole time, let Jason bang his head against the wall and then come and ask him, how did you do it, Jason?
And I think for many reasons we do hold back, because we just, for whatever, we're embarrassed. We feel like we're unique,
right,
in some way. Like you said, my problem is different, or people won't understand.
Right.
But we all have been hurt by life. We've all had trials and tribulations come,
yes,
into our lives. And God wants us to join ourselves together as a family. We are stronger together as a spiritual family. Again, we were saying in the sessions this morning, in the purpose session, that sometimes, very often, your spiritual family becomes closer to you than your natural family. Like sometimes, I mean, often in my natural family, I just feel like there's just a big missing connection.
Yeah.
Because if people don't know Jesus, and maybe they don't want to know him, then we're kind of living on two different planes. And so my spiritual family, I can draw closer to them, be more real with them, honest with them, and get even encouragement, support, prayer,
right,
that I can't,
right,
find in my natural family.
Right.
And so it's good to this is why we need a spiritual family around us, for that reason, to connect in. Yeah. I mean, I've said this before, but we get weird in isolation. We do. We think strange things, and then, you know, before we know it, we're saying strange things. So, I mean, we need to keep ourselves connected in a healthy way with people.
Yes.
You know, so very often, so many people, like you said last week, we've got thousands of ways to connect electronically. People are just, but they're connected to a screen. It's not even a real person.
Right.
And we need to learn how to just come in and be real with one another. There's a life that comes in those kinds of friendships, and a spiritual bond that is so deep.
Right.
How many of you feel closer in some ways to your spiritual family than you do your natural? Look,
oh,
at all the hands.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. For real.
Yeah. And so we want you to know The Community Life Church, this church is a place where you can belong. You can come in.
Come on.
And feel like you can connect. We want you to connect. We're going to encourage you to connect. And I think probably, I think we do that pretty well, but maybe to the place where people are like, at this at first, right? Miss Amanda, would you say? Because we just believe so much in what it's done in our lives. We see it's scriptural, and we see how it has helped our lives to blossom.
Yes.
And just bear fruit, and it's helping our children, the way we grow our family. That it's like, come on, just connect. Just try a little bit, you'll see. It's like, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
So the third
purpose,
I am committed, let's change that around,
yeah.
I am committed to serving others and living beyond myself. I mean, this is so scriptural. Jesus was the greatest servant of all. He came in humility. Scripture says not to be served. If anybody deserved to be served, it would
God.
Be Jesus
yeah.
Christ. Amen? And it's just amazing that, you know, at that Last Supper, he puts a towel around his arm and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. I mean, how low can you... Washing a person's feet, that was meant for like a slave to do in those days.
Right.
And even Peter was like, you can't do this. Like, no. I mean, he didn't get it. At first, he didn't. But it was, you know, just great how Peter, you know, even though sometimes Peter would shoot his mouth off in the wrong direction, when he did get it, he would repent. I mean, the guy would repent.
Yeah, that, amen.
He was like, all right, don't even just stop at my feet, Jesus. You know, give me a whole bath, like clean me up. But Jesus came as a servant. If he could get down and wash the disciples' dirty feet, we are following the master, are we not?
Yes.
And so we have to be. I am committed to serving others and living beyond myself. This must become a core purpose and value of our life. And we'll give you an opportunity. This is the beauty of the church. Amanda will give you an opportunity. She was in there in the purpose session this morning, showing our team life applications. There's a place for you to begin to serve somewhere.
It would be crazy for us to say all these things and never give you an opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, the next one,
I want to say one more thing just about
preach,
serving.
Preach, woman, I'm all for it.
Just... Because this isn't only about the church. I
right.
mean, we do walk out these four
yeah.
walls, and we go home, and we go to our families, and we go to work, and then to our neighborhood. So this is about a servant heart in the home, too.
Amen. Amen.
You know, and in the workplace, to think, how can I serve you? How can I help you? How can I be a blessing to you? This is the heart of Christ. And we do have to make a commitment to renew our mind to think this way, because human nature is selfish, is just all about me and how I feel, right?
Right.
I mean, it's so easy to wake up in the morning and the first thing is our mind is on ourself. How do I feel? What is my day going to be like? And we need to learn to think, you know, with the mind of Christ so we can say, I'm committed to serving others and living beyond myself. Then number four, the fourth purpose we're committed to is growing in character.
Come on. Yes.
And becoming more like Jesus. I mean, God wants us to grow up spiritually, right? And mature in him. I mean, he likes physical growth and spiritual growth are parallels.
Correct.
I mean, it's normal for a baby. Baby's born to wear diapers, eat a bottle, cry all the time. Everybody pays close attention to that baby. But I mean, but even parents want a baby to grow up and mature, right? And so does God.
Amen.
I mean, so it's a matter of like just, again, stopping thinking so much about ourselves and thinking about how can I be a blessing to other people? How can I think of ways to help somebody else? I mean, it's like praying to God and getting, Father God, like, what can I do to bless you? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought and prayed, you know, Father God, like, what could I do to bless you, to put a smile on your face?
Interesting prayer.
Interesting
huh?
prayer.
I think it would be a good thing to ask him.
And
what
I
can
think,
I do to make you happy, Lord?
And I think when we actually bless other people, we serve them, we go low, like in humility to serve other people, I think God smiles.
Good.
I think he's like, that blesses me.
Yes.
It's almost like you could hear God say to you, thank you for doing that. which is an amazing thing in itself that God would ever say to us, thank you for doing that. We feel like we are always going, thank you to him, and he's the ultimate giver. But he can say he has emotions.
Right, right.
And can say thank you to us. So we have these purposes, making Jesus center. I'm committed to making Jesus center. I'm committed to connecting with other people, just sharing my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm committed to serving and living beyond myself. I'm committed to growing up in Christ. And then the last purpose.
The last one is really, you know, is we're committed to going out and living out the mission. Living out the mission by inviting others to the hope that we've found through the relationship with Jesus. You know, I mean, once again, that statistic that Amanda brought up was really startling to me. I mean, I look at church statistics all the time, but I didn't know that 87%, if you invite somebody for Easter service, 87% of them will say yes. 87%. That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's impressive. You're going, like one of the quotes up there is, really, you're just telling another beggar how to find bread.
Yeah.
Anybody remember what they were like before they got saved? That's a good analogy, isn't it? I'm just a beggar. I found bread. I'll show you where to get some. It's pretty amazing what God will do when you give him your six.
That's right. I'm going to make a t-shirt like that.
This whole world, listen, this world is getting crazy. Did you ever recognize that? It's getting foolish. More and more so. People are going to start to say, you know what? This world has no answers. Unbelievers are going to say, you know what? I'm going to give God a try.
Yeah. Yep.
Because it's a disaster out there. It really is. You and I hold the answers. You and I hold the light. You and I hold the truth. You and I hold the victory. We're beggars. We have bread. We want to give it away, don't we?
Yeah.
There's people that you know and I know that we love. They're good people. But they don't have Jesus. They're going to hell.
Yeah.
Your good works, my good works, doesn't cut it. We think and cut it because we think God's like us. God's not like us. He's holy. The Bible says he touches the mountain, they melt like wax. Pretty amazing. It says with a blast of his nostril, he dried up the Red Sea. This is a God, and it's like what we sang about. How could it be that we get to partake in his reward?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What? He's perfect. We're far from it. We've all made some bonehead decisions in our life. You know what? I don't care how many good things you've done, it does not make up for the bonehead decision. Our good works doesn't make it, and hell will be full of good people. Sorry to say, hell's not just for bad guys. Hell's for those people who reject Jesus Christ. Hell's going to be full of good people. Because you don't get to heaven being good. See, the Father sent Jesus to invite.
Right.
And the Bible declares, Jesus made it so easy. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. Hey, simple, guys. He says, anybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Pretty simple. God's meant not making it complicated, folks. Why? Because he wants his banquet hall full.
Right. But how is he going to do
it? There you go, girl. Come on.
How is he going to do it?
Preach it out.
he's looking at us. He's looking at us going, you guys, it's in, I've given it to you to compel them to come.
Yes.
And so this is why every week we give an invitation at the end of our service, because why have a church service if you don't invite somebody to know Jesus? This is the whole point.
Yes.
And so if you invite and somebody comes and they hear and we pray, I mean, this is part of it too. This is on our outline. We may skip that. Pray and ask God to help you see how he's, well, been good to you. But we need to pray and ask God, you know, to, who can I invite?
Yes.
Who's around me, Lord? Who's open-hearted to the message? I mean, if we back up to that quote that we just skipped around, I'm sorry, Carly, back there on PowerPoint. But how you believe God perceives people will determine how you respond to them.
This is important.
That was on that video. That's important. If we believe that God perceives people, that he loves them, this is why this message is important. He's saying, I love them.
Yes.
Compel them to come. I want them in my kingdom. I know they might be messed up. I know they may be living in sin. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Yep.
And the beauty of the gospel is he loved us when we were dead in our sin.
Right.
So we didn't do anything to qualify for salvation. Jesus qualifies us for salvation. So I don't care who walks in the door and sits down and what their lifestyle is. There's hope with Christ.
Amen.
There's salvation for that person. And so put these, you know, I think to myself, think about how, you know, if you invite somebody, all you can take that invite card and just say, would you like to come to church on Sunday with me? Yeah. Well, I don't know about church. Well, just think of one thing you could say. Plan it out. Pray beforehand. I mean, put these purposes up on your refrigerator and think, well, how has knowing God changed my life? Can you answer that? Do you have more peace in your heart? Have you found answers to your life? How have you been affected by coming to church?
Right.
These are important. Don't wait until the last minute. Have something ready to say, because often we get tongue-tied, right? Yeah. Well, what's so good about your church? You know, here, come to my church, you know, as an invitation. Have something ready to say. Think about it. You might say, well, you know, I found that, man, I never thought that I would think the Bible is like some kind of book I would like to read. I always thought it was just some old stuffy book, but when I'm reading it, I'm finding, wow, I mean, the thing has some answers to my life.
Yeah.
It's helping me make sense of this crazy world we're living in. That's all. Just come and see. Just come and check it out. Or maybe you'd say, you know, it's the church by coming. I used to just be in a shell all the time. I was depressed, whatever. And I came, and I'm not so depressed anymore. It's helping me just break out of my shell. You should just come and check it out. Just come and see. That's all you have to say. Think of how coming to church and knowing God has helped you. And if you could think of one or two statements around that, that's all you need to do to invite.
Right.
And if they just ask another question, just say, well, I don't know. Maybe you don't know the answer to the next question they ask. Just come and see.
Come and see.
Do what they did. That's what Philip did, right? With Jesus. He just said, come and see.
Nathaniel,
yeah. Pray for opportunities. This is on our outline to share your story with open-hearted people. And pray that God would lead you to people, cross paths with people. I mean, this is where our prayers in the morning, you know, we can sometimes just go to God, God, I need this, I need this, I need this. But this is part of thinking, renewing our mind to see the world like God sees it. God also sees hurting people in the world that need salvation.
Right.
And so let me be, Lord, help me to cross paths with people today and give them an invite to know you. That puts a smile on God's face.
Mm.
So let's bring him glory. Let's bring him glory by being inviters. Let's invite. Take those invitations, like Jason was saying. We can make more copies. I'd love to say we need 100 more copies because we've given all the invitations away. And go on Facebook and share. Share the invitation with people. Let's use social media for the sake of the glory of God, not just...
Yeah, tell them about the egg hunt.
Yeah, share the egg hunt. And so let's just bow our heads and... pray here a moment. You know, just Father God, we do want to live lives that live for your glory, that bring you glory. We want to live for your purpose. I don't want to live for my own purpose. I want to live for your purpose. So I pray that the truth of your love, Lord, for us and the gospel message of forgiveness for our sins would just capture our heart. I pray you give us all a fresh revelation of it so that we would be compelled to just share it with other people. It wouldn't be something we have to do as a duty. It would just come out naturally because we're thinking about how good you've been to us. Father God, I pray you would help us to see people through your eyes.
Yes. How you perceive them, the way, help that fiery love that you have for people burn bright in our own hearts. Yeah, don't let us be swayed by outward appearances. Don't let us be swayed by a political viewpoint. Lord, let us be swayed with the love and the passion you have for each individual. Your heart's desire is that they would come to know you, that they would find purpose and they would experience this life. The first step is to come to know him.
The Father is still inviting people.
Yes.
To come into his house. And truly, today is the day of salvation. Do not put it off. Why would you put it off? If you don't know if you've ever made Jesus the Lord of your life, and I believe the Holy Spirit is working in here right now to help you understand, do you really know God? Have you ever really fully given him your whole heart? And if you have not and you want to make that decision today.
Yeah, you might have confessed him as Lord at times, but you know your lifestyle doesn't match. You know it. God knows it. The devil knows it. But you want to get right with God, here's an opportunity for you to get right with God. Here's the opportunity to get right with God. If that's you, just simply raise your hand high enough so that I can see it. We'll pray a prayer and you'll be saved. You know, if you have any other prayer needs, John and Cindy are over here. They're just so anxious to see prayers answered in your life. No matter what they are, they want to see God move in your life so you can be blessed. And they'll pray with you, no matter what the situation, they'll pray with you because they want to see God's blessing fall upon you and your family. I really want you to make, because we believe in prayer. This church believes in prayer. After service here, I want you to make your way over there to John and Cindy. They'll pray with you. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's what Jesus is saying. You need power to be a witness. If you're still timid about this, you need to go see John and Cindy. God has an answer for you. God has an answer for you. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would just make yourself real to everyone here. Everyone who hears my voice, draw them closer, draw them deeper. Lord, I'm asking you to burn a thought in their mind about giving you six, giving you 6 months to learn of you, to fellowship with other believers, to grow in you. Their life will be totally different. I thank you, Jesus, for your great love for us. And we walk about in joyful expectation of things to come. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.